Scripture reading this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 9, beginning in verse 36 and reading through the end of the chapter. And there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which was by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works, alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. It was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord, and it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God in the highest. Precious and hallowed is his holy name.
Amen.
I'd like for you to consider for just a moment with me how you would go about making a garment. Something like a suit for a man, or if you're a woman, you're making a dress. Something quite grand. What has to go into that? I can tell you, my wife has given me some insight into that because she likes to sew. She's a seamstress. I think she's quite good at it. But I've come to understand a little bit about it. I could never do it. I know that. But all of these things that have to be made, it takes lots of steps. It takes lots of care. And then each garment is made by sewing thread, individual tiny stitches all throughout. We have machines that do that now that help make it go a lot faster. But how about if you had to do it all by hand? Is there some sewing you do now that you have to still do by hand? You have to do it all slowly, methodically, but stitch by stitch by stitch, thousands and thousands and thousands of stitches just to make one garment. But all of that adds up, all of that adds together to finally have the beautiful product in the end. And in the end, when you see the garment, what do you think about? You think about the end product that's been made, right? And a garment that's actually doing its job properly, you don't even really think about the garment so much as you think about the person wearing it, right? Like a bride on her wedding day. The garment plays second fiddle to the woman who's wearing it, right? She is the one who radiates. I was thinking about this with Dorcas, because she was a seamstress. And I was thinking about it in respect with God and how we go about our lives and what do we do for God? What does he require of us? And ultimately, my friends, we're just little small stitches. We do our work of making little small stitches. And in the end, what is the desired result? The desired result is the garment, or the purpose behind the garment of a person. And it really isn't about us. Just like with the garment, you really don't see the stitches in the end. It's not really about the individual stitches. It's about the whole piece. For us, it's the same, my friends. It's not really about you. It's not really about me. No matter how many thousands of stitches we put into a work, we put into God's tapestry. The end result is about him, about his glory and his honor and the beauty that he has created for all. And by the gift of his dear son, Jesus Christ, the fact that we can partake in that is a most wondrous thing indeed. But let's, with that thought in mind, let's look at Dorcas today, or Tabitha, And let's consider her and what she did for God and the stitches that she sewed in the fabric of God's tapestry. We see, first of all, that she was at a place called Joppa. We know that place quite well. It's something that comes up in Scripture. Brother Larry, when he finished the chapter there, we see that's where Simon goes to stay with the tanner. What do we remember about that? The Cornelius, right, sends his servants to him, and suddenly, boom, the doors are open, the gospel are opened up to the Gentiles. Peter using one of his keys, right, to open up the door to the gospel of the Gentiles. We also read about Joppa and other places, though. Joppa was a seaport that was used by Solomon. It's actually where he received timber from Lebanon, right? The cedar from Lebanon that he used to build the great temple to God. Joppa was also another place of an Old Testament character. It's where Jonah went whenever he was catching a ship, right? To try to flee from God whenever he was headed to Tarshish. Okay. But no real point to the lesson other than the fact that Joppa is a well-known place that you maybe, if you start to think about it, you've actually come across Joppa quite a bit whenever you're reading Scripture. Okay. But Dorcas or Tabitha, what we're talking about today, is that she lived there. And look at how she's described. We see that she was described as a disciple, and she was a woman full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Whenever we read about Tabitha here, we don't know really anything about what she said, but what we do know is a lot about what she did. Her memory really is not about her words, but it's about her actions, right? Her life of servanthood is what spoke loudly. And that's something that, my friends, that we must remember for ourselves, is what is our life really about? It's more than just words, right? Like James tells us, it's not just about being hearers of the word, but it's being doers of the word as well. It's about going about your life and living that quiet, peaceful life for God. It's not just about saying a lot of things. I remember a quote from Benjamin Franklin just came to mind. I don't like to use a whole lot of secular things in my lessons, but I like this quote. He said, if you want to be remembered when you're dead and gone, right, either you need to write things worth reading or you need to do things worth writing. I think that's a good quote. And if we take that to what we're talking about here, ultimately we see Dorcas was remembered by what she did. And who ultimately are we wanting to remember us? That's God. Being remembered in his book, written down in his book, and certainly she was. Because of her quiet, peaceful life. Because she did not do this for the purpose and the point to be remembered or recognized of men. She did this because she loved God, and thus she loved her brethren. And she could sew. And so she put two and two together. I'm to serve God. I can serve my fellow man, my friends, and my fellow Christians. I can sew. I can do that. That's what I'll do for them. And so that's what she did, my friends. I'd like to stop just for a minute, for just a moment, too, and consider about some of the women we've been talking about this month. I don't know if you've noticed, but every Sunday we've spoken about one of the women that are in Scripture. And that's by no accident. It was no accident either that I told you I was going to be doing that. I do know, I've preached long enough to know that as soon as you announce that this is going to be a series, everybody gives a sigh and groan and their brains turn off. Also, I know that if I do that, then I'm locked in, and if I need to change, I can't change. But the point is that when we look at some of these women that we've already been coming across this month, I think we can see the special status that they held with Jesus. How they accompanied him on his journey. Some of them were financial contributors, whether they provided their house for a place of worship for the Christians and helped support gospel preaching. Or how some of these women stayed with him at the cross till the very end, while many of the apostles went away hiding. Or how they were the first witnesses of his resurrection. As we read throughout the New Testament, my friends, we see also that women were very involved in the expansion of the church, even the global expansion of the church. We didn't mention these women specifically, but in Romans 16, we read about Phoebe and Priscilla, Mary, Tryphena, Tryphosa, in Persia, and how they helped spread the gospel. And we read that of these last three, Romans chapter 16 and verse 12 says that they labored much in the Lord. In other words, they worked hard for God, is what it says. And when we look at Tabitha, we see this same sort of spirit within her. A worthy woman, right? She worked hard for God. So I want us to bring up three things specifically about her. Number one is the fact that she was called a disciple. She is a devoted disciple, as we see there in verse 36. She stood out as a very faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Now, what is a disciple of Jesus? A disciple is one who's a learner, isn't it? It's someone who is devoted to their teacher and their master. And she faithfully followed him in every regard that she could. We see that what she really wanted is she wanted to be like her teacher. She wanted to be like Jesus, my friends. You remember in Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, Jesus said this. He says, "A disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is fully trained will be like his master," or teacher is what he means, right? When you come to be fully trained, you're to be like your teacher, and that's our desire. And what a very high compliment for to be paid to her, because what is there, what Luke is saying here by describing her as a disciple is he's saying, you act like Jesus. And my friends, isn't that something that we would like to be said of us? Is that you act like Jesus. What a great compliment that could be offered up to us, my friends. You speak like Jesus. You walk like you do. This is how you live your life, my friends. Number two, what we notice about her is the fact, as we've already mentioned, she was a doer. A doer of good deeds and good alms. She couldn't do everything, could she? I mean, no one can. But she didn't hold herself to that. Nor did she allow that idea to overwhelm her and think, well, I can't do everything. Well, no, you can't do everything, but you can do something. And that's exactly what she did. She did something for God. And that's what God expects of us. He expects us to do something for him. And what's wonderful is that God gives us examples of, here's something that you can do for me. And it's all quite simple, really. Offer up a cup of cold water, right? Visit those who are sick and afflicted, or those who are in prison, right? What was something that she could do? She could sew for people, and that's what she did. The needs of the people not only moved her heart, but in turn she moved in response to do something to meet those needs, you see. She was touched that she saw a need, and she then sought to meet that need to the best of her abilities. And so she served because she wanted to do like Jesus. She wanted to be like Jesus. That was her identity. She was saved to serve, you see. And so we are to be as well. And that's exactly what James tells us about what true faith is. It's not something that is static or something that is to just be polished and put on the shelf and under glass and left there. But it's something that is taken down and it is utilized. As we talked about this morning in our Bible class, Jesus tells us that we are to be lights. It has to be set on a hill, not something that's hidden away, not something that's coveted and not be shared with the world, but rather we should spread it around. Because ultimately, what's the source of the light that's within us? It's Jesus. That's what it is, and that's what it should be, my friends. I can't remember if I told you this or not, but I will say it again. There's a song that we sing. It's called This Little Light of Mine. It's a good song, right? I love that song. I sang that song as a kid. When we sing that song, what do we mean? We mean that Jesus' light is shining through us, right? And I'm going to go throughout my life, and I'm going to let my light shine. And I thought it was quite a wonderful thing that whenever I started to see, like, on commercials and some secular events, people were singing this song. I thought, wow, that's great. And then it dawned on me what they meant. They meant, let my light shine. My light. Mine. Right? Me. I am going to shine and be glorious, you see? And I realized that we were singing the same words, but we didn't have the same meaning. And that made me a little sad then. But I mean, what's this old world been about from the beginning anyway? Me, myself, and I. And it made me realize I should not shy away from singing that song. I should sing it even more. And we Christians should then let that let our light shine so the world can know what's different about our light than the world's light. It's not our light. It's Jesus' light that's shining. What I do because of Jesus. What I do for Jesus. And it's Christ's love that motivates me. It's not love for this old world, and it's not selfish ambition. It's not me, really. It's Jesus, my friends. And so, yes, we let our light shine. And it's going to be a different light in the world, as it should be, my friends. Dorcas let her light shine in the way that she could. And what a beautiful way she did it. She was truly full of good works. Just as we are told that we are to be as God's disciples. Our whole habit, if you will, is to go around and to overflow with doing good because of what God has done for us. Our cup runneth over, and so it should spill out around us. The seeds of peace are sown around those who are peaceable, right? Seeds of righteousness and peace, like James talks about, that are spread around us. And so then, my friends, as we have opportunity, what did Paul tell us in the book of Galatians, chapter 6 and verse 10? So then let us, as we have opportunity, do good to everyone, especially of those of the household of faith. And do you have opportunity? You have ample opportunity, my friends. In fact, if you stop and consider, as you perhaps have already, you have so much opportunity that, again, it can be a bit overwhelming. How can I do it all? You can't. So, what do? You just pick something you do. Something you can do, right? It's kind of like preaching. What can I preach on? There's too many things to preach on. There are not enough hours in the day. If I preach till midnight, wouldn't do any good. I mean, I can't preach on everything, right? What do? You just pick something. You pick something that you can preach on, and you pick something that you think that your friends, your brethren in Christ, can benefit from, so you preach on it. How can I do something for God? How can I do a good work? I can't do everything, but I can do something. And so I pick something that I can do and something that I see that there's a need for around in my congregation, in my community, wherever I am. It doesn't matter. Right? And what she did, my friends, what she did is what made her so beautiful. These people were heartbroken that this woman was gone. Why? It really wasn't about the clothes, was it? Though they came, and whenever Peter came to them, after she was sick and she was dying and such, and she did pass away, and word was sent to Peter and he came, what did they do? They showed her, look at these garments, look at all these beautiful garments that Dorcas has made. But what was the point of that? Really, again, it wasn't about, look at what a fine seamstress we had. It's like, look at what a fine woman we had. Look at what a beautiful woman we had. Look at her heart. Look at what she was about. And Peter could see that in the stitches that she sewed and in the lives of those people around her, of how beautiful of a woman she really was, how worthy of a woman she really was. Her price was far above rubies. Because she cared for people. And that motivation for her caring for people was Jesus, not anything else. Look with me for just a moment to 1 Peter chapter 3. I was delighted to be able to read this verse recently whenever at the funeral service of our sister Betty when she passed away. Women like that make it easy, my friends, to do a funeral. But I was reminded of what Peter said, of what true beauty is. And he says here in verse, let's begin in verse 2, he says, while they behold your chaste conversation, couple through verse 3 actually, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair or wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, of great price. Far above rubies, right? This is a side point here. Peter's not saying you can't braid your hair or wear earrings or wear nice clothes. That's not what he's saying. It's not that statement. What he's saying is the focus isn't really to be on the outward. The focus is to be on the inward. And young ladies, seek to make your heart beautiful more so than your hair. And young men, seek after a woman who has a beautiful heart rather than who has a pretty face. Because in the end, that's what really matters. And that's really what's going to bring some happiness into your life. Many beautiful women with evil hearts have been the ruin of so many. Don't let that be said of you. Tabitha was a beautiful woman in that way. I heard a story one time, and it was in the Civil War. It was of a Union nurse. And she works tirelessly to help the soldiers who are amidst all of that carnage. And one time it was asked of her how it is that she could do this and what helped her be able to deal with the atrocities of war and why she continued to work tirelessly. And amongst her reply, one thing she said is had to do with this. The fact that she, whenever she was very young, I forgot to say this, when she was very young, she was disfigured in a fire. Her face was disfigured when she was very young. And she said, "These wounded soldiers do not see my scars. They see me as beautiful because what they see is my heart." And that was something that helped her in that. And my friends, what is it that true beauty is that we should be seeking in ourselves, in each other? It's the heart, my friends. And you see, God helps us see beyond the scars, and he helps us see the beauty, and he helps us see the heart, and he helps us be made better. Tabitha served her Savior by ministering to those in need, and she was a model of a devoted disciple who did good works in a quiet, sacrificial, and unassuming way. But it wasn't unnoticed. People noticed. God noticed, my friends. And God thought she was worthy of being brought back to life because of it. Let's notice in the last point that's tied in with this other one, that she was a doer of deeds, is the fact that she helped people that were hurting. Right? People that were in need. She didn't just make clothes simply because, well, this is just what she thought could be done, but because there was a need there again, like the widows who stood by and weeping and showing the garments that she had made, right, while she was with them. She did this because people were in need, and it wasn't so easy back then for them to get clothes and such. And so she took it upon herself to painstakingly go through the task of doing this by hand. You can imagine her sitting up late into the night, putting her hands to the distaff, her hands holding up the spindle. She opens her hands to the poor. She reaches her hands out to the needy. Right? She helps take care of them. What a wonderful example she is to us, my friends. I would say this, because whenever we stop and consider our work for God, it's easy to limit ourselves, again, to this idea of evangelism, right? Preaching, and I got to go preach, and I got to go teach people and things like that. And what does that do for most of us? It kind of makes us shudder with fear, the thought that I'm going to have to go out there and, like, preach to people. 90% of us perhaps feel like, I can't do that. But my friends, understand that preaching is not just about doing what I'm doing right now or what people like me do. It's not just about that. In fact, my friends, you preach every day and teach every day by the way that you walk and by the way that you live and act. And when you stop and think that really the way that you can evangelize is by serving, the act of serving, I bet you that most of you will say, I can do that. There are things that I can do to serve in that way. Whether it's as simple as washing someone's car that needs help, or helping clean their home, or offering them up a hot meal, mowing their grass, helping them with a ride. But doing it all, my friends, with no strings attached, that's something that you can do, my friends. And you can have a great influence on others through your humble acts of service, your brethren, and also your neighbors, your brethren, whomever, my friends. And so then you let your light shine before men, that they then see your good deeds and praise your Father which is in heaven. They can see that it's not really about you, but it's about Jesus, right? It's not even, you're not doing this because of the wall or church of Christ. You're doing this because of Jesus, my friends. Because that's really what it's about. And so then in the small things, by the small things that you do with great love, you then begin to change the world. You change your family, you change your community, you help those around you, my friends. And you then become part of that beautiful tapestry that God has been working on for so long. And you are part of those stitches that are woven in. And you know, you may not be remembered by men as seen and noticed, but in the end you will be remembered by God. And you will be part of that, again, beautiful garment that God has been working on. You know, my friends, again, when we stop and we see Tabitha here, we no doubt think about what Jesus did, I think, with the little girl who died, right, back in Mark chapter 5, and she passed away. And Jesus shows great compassion here. What he sees is individuals. And he sends the people out, it's just the parents that are with him, right, and Peter, James, and John. He takes the girl by the hand, and he tells her to arise. Little girl, I say to you, rise. And so she does. And here now, Peter is essentially doing the same thing with Tabitha, holding her hand, telling her to rise, and she opens her eyes, and she rises up, my friends. God again saw her worthy of being brought back to life. My friends, when we offer ourselves to God in the same way like Tabitha did, Dorcas, my friends, will God wish to raise us up to life too, eternal life? Absolutely he will. But it won't be based on our deeds. We know that. It's not because we deserve it in that way, but it's because of the fact that we have trusted in him, just like she did. That was her motive. So, my friends, look at